Blog Talk Radio.
William DeBry has left the building, but does that mean it's the end for Julian and Alexis? We'll be talking about that and a whole lot more tonight on Tune In Tomorrow. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Tune In Tomorrow. I'm your host, Richard Sims. I'm also the executive editor of Soaps in Depth magazine. I'm also the Tweetmaster General over at Soaps in Depth. And as you know, there's been a lot of things going on in the soap universe over the last couple of weeks. We've had a huge shakeup over at The Young and the Restless, where the head writer and her story consultant have decided to quote-unquote retire, and executive producer Mal Young, who was brought on with great fanfare not too long ago, has stepped in to become the new head writer. At General Hospital, there's a lot of build-up to the introduction of Steve Burton and whether or not he will be playing Jason, but the real news came out of the General Hospital fan club weekend, where William DeBry confirmed that, yes, in fact, he filmed his last episode right before the show went on their extended break that they take every, 4 or 5 months they take a break. That was the last time he filmed. He has not been back to the studio since, but he gave hope to fans by saying that all hope was not lost and that they might still find a way to hammer out a deal. The question is, given that they've been back filming now for a bit, what actually happens to Julian? Will he just disappear from the canvas, which on General Hospital, being the crowded canvas that it is, it's not too difficult to shuffle a character to the back burner for a while. But no word yet on exactly how that's going to play out. And, of course, we still haven't seen the last material that he's taped on air. So we still have him on air for a little while, but it'll be interesting to see what happens once William DeBry's last episode, or at least the last episode that he has taped so far, actually airs. And, of course, the other thing kind of getting people really buzzing has been the kiss that Mariah and Tessa shared, and let's just say that set off a bit of a firestorm. A lot of people saw it coming, even I almost feel as if people saw it coming even before the show knew it was going there. There was just sort of an idea that these two characters really played together well, had a lot of chemistry, but the minute they actually went there and locked lips, the controversy began, and it hasn't really stopped since. There's a lot of talk about that. Meanwhile, I want to give you a little spoiler here. First of all, if you saw the end of today's Bold and Beautiful, we saw Eric and Quinn reunite, and they were dancing in the living room, and I will admit this curmudgeonly heart of mine was I almost cried. I thought it was so beautiful. And then you got to the end of the episode, and they panned up to Quinn's portrait, and they did this really cool thing that, for me, was right out of Walt Disney World's Haunted Mansion, where the lightning flashed and Quinn's portrait changed to a creepy one of Sheila, and it was all kinds of awesome. And that was sort of setting the stage, because if you think Sheila is down and out, oh, contraire, my friends, think again. In fact, I'm telling you now, you don't want to miss Friday's episode. It's going to be good, it's going to be big, and it's going to kick off sort of the next phase of this story, which includes building up to the introduction of Ian Buchanan's James. I should say reintroduction, because we all know that Sheila was at one time married to James. But it all kicks off on Friday as the summer of Sheila continues. If you want to join the conversation here, give me a call at 714-868-0749 and we'll talk about whatever you like. You can ask your soapy questions or state your soapy opinions. You can also leave your comments in the chat room, which is open, and I try and keep an eye on it. Sometimes I'm not great at it, I will be honest, but I'll do my best. Again, it's 714-868-0749. Once you have dialed that number, you'll be prompted to push a button, and that'll indicate to me that you're on the line and want to talk. And we're going to go to the phone lines right now. We have several callers on the line, so I'm really excited. The one thing I'm hoping against hope is that so annoying, Dan J. Kroll does not attempt to phone in. But we'll see. Let's see how it goes. 267,
you're
on
the... I am here to bring fire and fury.
Dan J. Kroll. What are you doing here? Don't you have something better to do than stalk me?
Not really. Not today. What's going on?
Dan J. Kroll. He's a very good friend of mine. We joke on Twitter a lot to the point where people actually sometimes think we don't like each other. He is actually one of my top, 76 people on the planet. And, Dan, it's nice to hear you. What's up?
That's right. We're friends. We're good, good friends. I just wanted to call in because, I'm on a temporary break from doing what I normally do while I get some things together. So I have to crash other people's shows in order to, talk. So here I am, crashing the show.
Well, it's awesome to have you here. We were actually talking earlier today about the thing that has sort of Twitter in some cases celebrating, in other cases up in arms, and that is the Mariah and Tessa kiss. And, we were talking about sort of a theory that is out there that we've both seen on Twitter. Do you want to go ahead and set up what that theory is?
Sure. It's interesting because I posed it on Twitter, on the Soap Central Twitter account, based on a bunch of emails that I've gotten, and there seems to be a theory among viewers, for whatever reason, that The Young and the Restless is pairing Mariah and Tessa strictly so that they can put back together Devon and Hillary. I'm not sure where this came from. I'm not sure why there are so many people who are expressing it, but I've gotten so many of emails and tweets about this that I thought I would pose it out there on the Twitter account just to see, how people would respond. Well, speaking of fire and fury, people think that I'm a crazy person and I'm clickbaiting and I'm creating rumors and I'm against heterosexual couples and I'm against African Americans and I'm against the gay community and lesbians. It's wonderfully crazy. It's strictly just based on that. And thousands and thousands of emails and tweets and other feedback that I've gotten, even on our hotline that we still have, from people who think that the very idea of having lesbian characters on The Young and the Restless is the most sacrilege thing ever to be done, that Bill Bell is rolling over in his grave, according to some viewers, this, and that this has no place on daytime television, or I'm assuming any television based on the feedback. And it's funny because these are the same, almost word for word, messages that I got back in 1996 when All My Children was doing a storyline about Kevin Sheffield coming out and then having a gay teacher, Michael Delaney, who is Chris Bruno, who now apparently is an MMA fighter, can kick the crap out of anybody. Not that it has anything to do with anything. It's just I was surprised to see that he was an MMA fighter, from soap actor to, kick your behind. But it's literally the same thing that I'm seeing 21 years, 22 years, in some cases, later, from people who are saying, paraphrasing, burn in hell, die, 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 stabby, stabby, all the things.
Which is, in some ways, it's so disheartening. You think that we've come so much further than that, and you really are kind of reminded that, while parts of the country have moved forward quite a bit, there are other parts of the country that, that really do not think this. Now, I think it's interesting to me that we talk about this, and when the readers talk about this, one of the things that comes up a lot, and I'm sure you've seen it a lot, is this is stupid. Mariah isn't gay. Mariah has never, we've never had any indication that Mariah is gay. And what I'm very happy for people who have lived in lived their entire lives without ever having their lives ripped open by the fact that someone in their life, you know, goes through a period where they question their sexuality, you know, where maybe, you know, whether we've all heard and seen it, you know, a man who's gone his entire life and suddenly comes out of the closet and leaves his wife to go, you know, be quote unquote his true self. And I think that's much more common with people in the age group that we're talking about here with Tessa and Mariah. I had a call from, we don't get many calls at the office, which always surprises me. I'm always surprised that people don't, you know, it's pretty easy to figure out how to get in touch with us at the office. And I'm always surprised. I have one guy, Rich Brown, who calls me a lot. He's an awesome guy. I can't remember how old he is, but he's an older caller. He leaves me messages at the office a lot. Sharon Case has really been a bright spot in his life. She sends him Christmas cards and birthday cards, and he always calls to leave me a message about it. But he's, like, really the only person out there that calls regularly. But I had a call today from a 75-year-old woman in Philadelphia who was
Pittsburgh.
Very upset about this.
You told me it was Pittsburgh.
Yes, you're right. It was Pittsburgh. You're very right. It was Pittsburgh. Thank you. And she was very upset about this and said that not only was she upset about this, but all of the young people are upset about this storyline. And I couldn't help thinking, ma'am, I think it's probably more people your age that are upset about it than it is young people. And in my mind, this is very much the kind of story that soaps need to be doing to get the younger audience that they crave. And it's not saying that, you know, it's not saying Mariah is going to be gay or that Tessa is gay. It could be that, you know, they're bisexual. It could be that one of them is gay, one of them is questioning. But it's a modern story. It opens up so much potential. And I love the idea of, let's say it turns out that Tessa is bisexual, and we play a triangle between Noah and his sister. It's very common on soaps for, you know, siblings to fall in love with the same person, but it's not exactly common for siblings to fall in love with the same person when one is a brother and one is a sister, and the person caught in the middle is a woman. I think that's so modern and so fantastic. And I will tell you this, I actually know somebody who was in that situation. I know I know a brother and sister who, when they were in college, both dated the same person and did not realize it at the time. They found out, like while it was still going on, but at the time that it started, they did not realize they were both dating the same person.
So what did you and your sister do when you found this out?
Oh, my sister is going to be so mad at you if you even suggested that. No, Dwayne. And her husband is like, wait, she did that? No, Dwayne, I'm sorry, she's not. So get it out of there. The other big thing that, you know, we were talking about earlier in the show at the top of the hour was the William DeBry situation, you know, and how they will handle that. You know, they're back filming now. William DeBry has confirmed at the General Hospital Fan Club weekend, which was held this past weekend, he confirmed that he's done filming as of, what was the last day they filmed? Was it like July something or other? I can't remember exactly. Like right before they went on their hiatus for 3 weeks, he filmed his last episode. They are back to filming, and he is not on set. So what do you think here?
It's interesting that we went from talking about Hillary and Devon fans to another very vocal group of fans, the Gilexis fans on General Hospital. I feel like this is going to be the case. General Hospital has had this happen a couple of times now in the past year-ish, we'll say, where Tyler Christopher was sort of an in and an out before he was out, and then there was Rebecca Herbst, then we had Roger Howarth. I think they're going to just do what they normally do. They're just going to pretend that nobody notices that a character is gone. I mean, unless he's already written in the scripts, in which case, I don't know, what do? You find out if Blake Barris is available to come in? He did it for the Spinelli thing when Bradford Anderson wasn't available. I mean, what do? Do you bring in somebody for a couple of bits and hope that things work out? Do you completely write scripts? Do you maybe tape things out of order? I don't know what you do, but this is one of those interesting sort of games of chicken, though, in my mind anyway. You've got a lot of people on my Twitter feed and more than likely on the Soaps in Depth feed Twitter feed as well from people who are saying they will never, ever again watch General Hospital if William DeVry is not re-signed to a contract. And I'm sure, as I see, they're adding the ABC network and adding General, they're tagging General Hospital. So clearly, if anybody's reading their feeds, they're going to see these. Do they care? Are they taking this into consideration when they have talks? Do they sort of take for granted that maybe these are a bunch of people with bots that they've set up to send out all the same messages, saying that they're not going to watch? Is it a case of, you've got 1,000 fans who are really vocal? And nowhere near a large percentage of the 2 million people who are actually watching, according to the ratings anyway. I don't know what they do, but I think they need to figure it out sooner rather than later so that we don't have this nonsensical suspension of reality in couples and characters without having a William DeVry's status one way, shape, or another. And he also said that, if they wait too long, he's got a movie project that he's going to be working on or some other project. I don't know if it's a movie, that he would be unavailable for a period of time because of this other project. So I don't know.
You can also end up with a situation like Tyler Christopher where, enough time goes by and guess what? Another show snaps him up. Tyler Christopher's now been hired to play a quote-unquote mystery role, although most of us kind of think we know who it is, over on Days of Our Lives, which isn't necessarily a surprise. And let's face it, Ron Corlavati wrote for Tyler Christopher on General Hospital. So it wouldn't be, it wouldn't be completely out of the blue for Ron Corlavati to say, oh, William DeVry is available? Well, okay, let's bring him over here. Let's throw him on this canvas too. Why not, historically, we've always thought of Y&R and General Hospital as sort of having the casting wars. They steal from each other a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? Maybe we're going to kick off and see the same thing sort of happen with Days of Our Lives and General Hospital. I will say this. The one thing that bothers me, and General Hospital has been particularly bad about this, especially recently, when they had the extended period where Roger Howarth was not on screen because of, his negotiations, I do not feel like they handled that particularly well because, in storyline, they sent him to New York to deal with a civil suit. Franco is off dealing with a civil suit. He'll be back very soon, by the way. It's part of my next cover story is his return and his reunion with Liz and the fact that something is amiss just beneath the surface there. But the problem I had with the whole story was when Franco went to New York, Liz stopped mentioning him. Like, things for weeks and weeks, anytime Liz was on screen, they acted as if the other person has to be on screen in order for you to continue to talk about them. They didn't have one-way conversations, really. Nobody asked her, hey, what's up with Franco, that guy you're dating who seems to not be around anymore? Like, they just completely dropped him. And that's very jarring for a viewer, So if they do the same thing with Julian, where now they do – it's worth noting that they do right now have Julian in a position where they could easily address this because Julian is about to go on trial. And so you could very easily sentence Julian, send him off to, prison and leave him there until this situation is resolved. It wouldn't be the first time that a soap opera character has gone to prison and come back. The other thing you mentioned that I always wonder about too is you and I both see, as does the network, the influx of tweets and emails and phone calls and things from people when they are upset about a situation. Over on CBS, we saw it with Michael Muni, and we still see it occasionally. It still comes up occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they announced that Mal Young was taking over as head writer, all the usual tweets came out, well, when is Michael Muni coming back? That's the only thing we want, blah, blah, blah. I occasionally track these things, and I'll write down the names of people who, at the time that it's happening, say, I am never watching this show again. And it's interesting because they tend to watch. They tend to keep watching. You can tell because they continue to mention the show and what's going on. But at the same time, there is that question of there is a fan base that is very, very vocal out there, and I'm not going to name names. But I know you know which one I'm talking about, and people probably can figure it out eventually. But there's a fan base that very regularly talks about how if what they want, they do not get, they are not watching the show anymore. And they brag about the fact that of the number that they represent. And they're very proud of the number that they represent. But the number they represent and that they whether it's real or imagined, is not a big number. You know, in comparison to, like you were saying, the overall audience, the number of people that they represent is really, you know, kind of a drop in the bucket. And it's like, if that's how many people you represent, then I'm not necessarily going to worry as much. I don't think any show wants to upset a fan base, obviously, because fan bases are very vocal. But at the same time, I think you have to take – I'm a big believer that no show lives or dies based on a fan base and or a parent, with very, very few exceptions. You know, we've both seen – during fan wars, when one side will say, well, if you put my pair on and you reunite them, the show will shoot to number one in the ratings. And it never happens. You know, I mean, there may be a small rating bump, but when's the last time any show shot to the top of the ratings because of a couple and their fan base? It just doesn't happen. It happens because a show overall is good. That couple may be part of the overall story that helps propel ratings, but it's pretty rare that any one couple is responsible for a ratings rise or fall of any significance. Wouldn't you agree?
I kind of do. And I actually joked about this also on Twitter, which also got me in trouble, where I was saying that, you know, if there's ever anybody who, if it was brought to me on Twitter that Young and the Restless was intentionally keeping apart certain characters just to upset the fans and make them not want to watch the show, to which my initial response was, it doesn't necessarily make any sense to me that the show would want people not to watch, because that would either mean that they want the show to end or they just don't care about the fans. And I can't see either of those. So my joke was, well, the best way to alienate the most people on The Young and the Restless would to break up Kane and Lily, and to break up and keep apart Devon and Hillary, and have Kane and Devon become a couple. It was just
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Clearly,
do you have any idea how many? Do you have any idea how many pearls you have caused to be clutched with that statement?
I know, but that was the thing. Is I'm saying, you know, if you really think that the show is trying to make people upset, why not just go for the gusto? Why not, you know, completely devastate the Lane fans, which, I mean, there's quite vocal and many of them who are rooting for the couple. Why not upset Devon and Hillary's fan base, because they're vocal and they love the couple and want them back together? You have the fan base that doesn't ever want to see anyone who's a gay character on the show. So I'm like, if they wanted to cancel the show and make people stop watching, clearly that would be the way to do it. So I don't think that the show wants people to stop watching, but there is a part of me too that says, or thinks about even in real life, is that if you have something that is worth being together, if you have a relationship that is worth anything, you overcome obstacles, whatever they may be. It doesn't necessarily mean, like in soap cases, that you go off and bang your father's stepson or something until you get back with him. I don't know. I'm confused in my head. I know what I'm talking about. It's like Wyatt and Katie on The Bold and the Beautiful.
It's like you have – it's like you have plotline Tourette's. Just get them out there and see what happens.
No, it's a case of not everything. If I had a favorite couple, I don't necessarily – I wouldn't say that I do. I watch couples and I'm into them when they're couples, and when they're not, I find other couples, and it's just the way that things go. But for me, you know, I want couples to be happy if there's a couple that I like. But there is also the part of me of when poo comes up, you know, I want them to be able to get through poo and be back together. If they were really meant to be together in the first place, they won't let the poo get in their way. That's just me, but that's in real life. I've seen people who've broken up with people because they didn't like their clothes.
There's also the fact of the matter is single couple shippers, which is what we're largely talking about here. You know, couples, people who view the world or view a soap really through the eyes of their love of one couple, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the thing that they do where they shoot themselves in the foot is they don't want to see – they basically don't want to see that couple have a story, you know, because soap operas are about trauma and drama and bad things happening to couples. You know, couples – if couples don't have something to overcome, then they stagnate on the back burner. Now, yes, you know, there's the argument that a couple doesn't have to sleep with somebody or cheat with somebody or, you know, be separated to be good drama. But look at any of the super couples that have ever been on soap operas. You know, whether it's your Victor and Nikki's or your Luke and Laura or any couple, they had things to overcome. They had, you know, people who, you know, Todd and Blair, you know, Cliff and Nina. They had huge, huge obstacles, and they spent a lot of their time apart because that is what soap operas are. If you want a couple, if you want to watch something that has couples that are going to stay together, watch a sitcom, you know, because that's – couples in sitcoms don't usually break up unless it's Friends or something like that where they became soap operas. You know, watch The Big Bang Theory. Those couples don't really break up. They all stay together, and they go through little dramas, but it's a half-hour comedy, and they stay together. And that's sort of the other – problem that sometimes arises is that when shippers say I want my couple together, what they are technically saying is I don't want my couple to have story, and that's not interesting. There's no interest in that.
But isn't there a way though to make couples together happy, but to give them other story or other drama that doesn't necessarily involve them having to split up? I mean, there are people who've been together for, you know, 50, 60 years in the real world, and they've had crap happen, but it doesn't mean that they've, you know, started sleeping around and having drunken affairs in Japan or holding knives to people's throats. I don't know. I mean, to me, that's almost a sign of wanting to tell the same type of story. And you and I talk offline as well about wanting to do things that are topical, to bring in things that are more modern storytelling. Can't they do a modern storytelling that doesn't involve a couple, you know, a third leg of a relationship, a triangle? There's got to be something that comes up with that.
I completely agree. There are other things to tell, but any long-term couple, you know, like if you want your couple that you ship to be a long-term couple that's going to be on a soap 5, 10, 15 years, there's going to be some of that stuff. It's inevitable, you know? I mean, you can't tell 15 years worth of story with a happy couple, you know, unless you decide to turn your show into Murder, She Wrote, or, you know, they become the Hearts, and everywhere they go, somebody drops dead, and you start investigating, you know? And there are ways to do that. Those couples are called tentpole couples. You know, like in the old days, most shows had tentpole couples. For example, on The Edge of Night, Mike and Nancy Carr were a tentpole couple. And they very rarely broke up. And they had story, but most of their story involved being there. You know, Mike was the district attorney in town. Nancy was a reporter. So they would be covering other people's stories, or they would be, you know, dealing with legal issues and handling that kind of thing. But they weren't necessarily – and they were like, you know, they were loved. Nancy and Mike Carr were beloved. But they were more talk-to and tentpole characters than they were couples who drove story. And there's, you know, there's a certain dissatisfaction in that kind of thing as well. Someone in the chat room, Hello Sunshine in the chat room, is saying, you know, that take Hevon, meaning Hillary and Devon, for example – to first be established as a long-term couple, you have to have some happiness and foundation. You can't get married 1 month and have angst and cheating and lying the next 8 months to just divorce. And I completely agree with that. I completely agree with that. You cannot even begin to become a super couple if you don't at some point have a sort of baseline of happiness. There has to be something to root for there. I love Hillary and Devon, but I think that couple has been so badly written for so long now. Because various regimes have not, and it's not just one regime, it's several, have not known what to do with them. You know, whether it was Hillary and Devon cheating behind Neil's back, which just made them look like skanky people. It's hard to root for skanky people. And the fact that, you know, that Neil was blind and these two were cheating behind his back, that's not super couple material. Or the fact that, you know, that Hillary over has become sort of – there is nothing wrong with being a vixen. It's great. But we have to see redeeming qualities in a Vixen. And Hillary, we haven't really seen all that many redeeming qualities. She does things that are sort of very self-serving, and that's fine, but a lot of the self-serving things she does are things that are directly going to stand between her and Devon being a couple. Like her battles with Lily, that is Devon's sister. He is not going to be appreciative of her doing things to hurt his sister. That is always going to come back and bite her. There are plenty of ways that Hillary can be manipulative and plenty of people in town that she can be manipulative against. But they need to find a way to write her as someone who is more than just a bitch and who, like you can see, whenever Devon and Hillary are in the room, you can see that Devon still cares for her, but then she goes and does something stupid, like steal the commercial out from under Lily. Yes, you can argue that it was just, you know, that there were millions of people, well, thousands, whatever, who auditioned for this commercial and Hillary threw, but when Hillary threw her hat in that ring, she knew she was competing against Lily, and she knew that if she got that part, that would be something that would cause friction. Like, there were... She needs to cause friction with people other than those that her would-be long-term love care about. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do. I don't know. I guess I don't feel as strongly about couples in that sense. It's funny. I watch more for story, I guess, than I do necessarily for couples. I do root for couples. And I'm happy when there are couples. I mean, very rarely is there a couple on screen that I don't like. For whatever reason, I don't get fully emotionally invested. Maybe it's because I know that there's no point in doing that because couples don't last for all that long on soaps in the first place, where I don't sort of put all my eggs in the basket of saying that, hey, if they break up, I'm going to be very, very unhappy. That doesn't really happen to me, but I agree, though.
You and I both ship story. We ship story over couples. That's not to say there aren't couples I love. Like, I love Eric and Quinn on The Bold and the Beautiful. Love them. But I loved the story they played with Ridge. I loved that. And one of the things I really loved about it was this was a great example of something that you could do with a couple like Hillary and Devon or any other couple, really. Quinn and Ridge did not cheat, you know? I mean, some people would say it's technically cheating, but they shared a couple of kisses, and the show got so much good drama out of the fact that they were both devastated and torn apart by the fact that they kept being drawn back to each other behind the backs of Brooke and Eric, the people they loved. That to me was really, really strong storytelling because it involved emotional. It showed that you can have characters do something that is emotionally devastating to the people they love without actually having them fall into bed. There's more to, you know, there's more to an emotional flirtation in some ways than there is to a sexual one. And I thought that was a really good example of something you can do without having a couple cheat.
Yeah, I think too, I mean, I also wonder, and this isn't going to be probably what any of the fan bases want to hear about their characters. I wonder if sometimes if it's just better to, I don't know, to give up on it. And this isn't just in regards to Hillary and Devon. This is also like for the fans of Alexis and Julian on General Hospital. You know, at what point do you just say, you know what, I give up. You know, whatever the writers will bring, that's what we're going to bring, and I'll support the show. I would rather have the show than not have the show. I don't know. I mean, to me, again, it even goes back to with All My Children, with people who wrote to me saying that they weren't going to ever watch All My Children if Bianca was a lesbian, and you know, they were still writing to me about watching the show when the show went off the air. I wonder if sometimes if it isn't better to just say, you know what, maybe they're not giving me everything that I want, but at least it's on the air. I know it's a totally different argument, and they have gone down a different road.
That's really tough because, I mean, it comes down to, are there people who are so invested in the couple that they will quit watching, even if there are other things on the show that they enjoy, if they are not getting the couple they want? You know, I'm going to bring a couple callers on. Are you going to stick around?
I am. I'll sit here and be quiet in the corner, maybe.
You don't have to be quiet. Yes, you do. It's my show, not yours. This is the Richard Hour, not the Hillary and Dan Hour. All right, we're going to take a call here. Caller 619. 619, you're on the air. What do you got for us tonight?
Hello, Richard.
Hello. Who's this?
This is Ferris. Good to be
hey,
back
Ferris,
on your show
how
again.
Are you? Good. How
I'm
are
good.
You?
I'm good. I'm fine.
Happy pre-birthday. I understand you have a big birthday coming up. We won't say what it is. We won't say the age, but you have a big milestone birthday coming up, so happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So,
you can say how.
So what do you got for us tonight?
Well, I want to do a follow-up on the last conversation that we had concerning Hevon, and you said something's going to happen with Hevon by the end of the summer. Has that changed?
Well, I mean, first of all, what I said was you would start seeing a change in the writing, and I think we have seen that. I mean, everything on the show certainly leans toward and indicates that this is the couple that you're going to root for. I mean, even the fact that, you know, even if you look at the Mariah-Tessa situation, it's very clearly, you know, another sort of brick in the wall that comes between Mariah and Devon and sort of inches him toward Hillary. Now, the big question becomes, when we were talking about all of those things, that was, you know, under the previous regime. That was when Sally Sussman was writing the show. The question becomes,
right.
what does Mal Young do with this? Now, I have interviewed Mal several times. I'm a really big fan of his. I was a fan of his work on other shows, whether it was EastEnders or Doctor Who, things like that. He is a big believer in story. He's a big believer in audience. He does listen to the audience. I mean, he doesn't listen to the audience over story, but like any good executive or head writer of a show, he does sort of keep his fingers on the pulse of what people are saying. So, I mean, I think that if I had to guess, that he would also continue the trajectory of moving Hillary and Devon closer together, because it's sort of a win. There's good story there. There's good chemistry there. There's good, you know, there's an audience that wants to see it. Ignoring that would be you know, just not a smart move. So I assume that he will continue on that trajectory, but one never knows. You know, you don't know what a new person's going to bring to the table.
Well, we won't be seeing Mal stuff until October.
Well, technically you will not see him until October, but much like with Ron Carlovati, who we knew the date that Ron's material was going to start airing, but we also heard a lot of stories that he was injecting things into stuff earlier than his first technical date. So I would be really surprised if we don't start seeing Mal's influence before that, you know, just based on how things have worked and things I'm hearing backstage, things like that. I would be surprised if we don't sort of start getting a sense of the changes that he wants to make earlier than that. But yes, we won't see technically we will not be seeing his material until October.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Mal does inject some stuff right now, you know, because with the writing changes that happened last week, I wouldn't be surprised if he started injecting stuff in there earlier than later.
Right.
But right now, what we're seeing right now in the Hevon storyline, you know, it's kind of the same stuff we saw for the last couple of months, you know. Devon and Hillary, you know, chemistry is still there, but when Devon's out of the room, he's putting Hillary down to another person, and Mariah is shoving her relationship with Devon in her face. It's kind of the same stuff.
Okay, well, wait. Nobody, Mariah is not shoving her relationship in your faces. On the show, Devon and Mariah are in a relationship. Hillary is in a relationship with Jordan. And it's, you know, shippers are going to look at that and say, oh, you know, they're shoving the relationship. That's not shoving. That's people being in a relationship. That's how it is. If they ended it tomorrow, if all of a sudden tomorrow,
I hope,
Devon, don't hope. If you hope that, then stop watching, because that's not going to happen. If tomorrow Devon said, you know what, I'm really not into this, I'm going to go be with Hillary, that would be the most disingenuous writing on the planet, because that is not how things happen in real life. And it would be completely caving to a fan base, and not in a good way. You know, if that would be something being done that is not natural. It is not a natural progression. The natural progression on a soap opera is that relationships change slowly over time. So if you're waiting for, if you think that tomorrow or next week, suddenly Devon and Hillary are going to be back together, you're going to be disappointed, because that is not how soap operas work, period.
It has to be epic with the, it has to be epic.
Well, it doesn't have to necessarily be epic, but it has to make sense. It can't just happen overnight because a fan group wants it. That's not reasonable. That's not good soap opera. And above all, this, you have to remember, while on The Young and the Restless, it might be called the Hillary Hour. The show is not called the Devon and Hillary Hour. It's The Young and the Restless, and it's about a full canvas of characters who they also interact with. Hillary and Devon are two of those characters, as are Mariah, as are Jordan, and for them to ignore, you know, everything that has been written, whether you like it or not, whether anybody likes it or not, you can't suddenly ignore the history of whether it's a week ago or 6 months ago or 5 years ago. I mean, that's the number one sin in soap operas is you forget the past, or you rewrite the past, or you ignore the past. So whether it's epic or whether it's something that just sort of is a slow evolution, it cannot happen overnight. That would be so disingenuous and such bad soap opera. Dan, would you agree?
Oh, hello. Yes. No, I was just listening.
Hello, Dan.
I agree. I mean, hi. I think here's the thing. As I say with any couple that people want to see together, but for whatever reason, they're not. For me, when I'm watching other shows, I'm taking soaps out of this, so we'll move to a more of a neutral plane field.
There are other shows?
When I watch a lot of what. Believe it or not, there are shows that air after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's amazing.
Liar.
There are couples that I watch them and I see their pain of things that are going on, where you sit and go, oh my God, why don't you just say I'm sorry? Or, oh my God, why don't you just kiss her? Whatever the case is. And there's that part of me that enjoys a tortured couple. It's not that I enjoy seeing people unhappy. I just feel like for me, the payoff is so much better than in what you were saying. You know, tune in tomorrow when all of a sudden, you know, Devon says, oh my God, what am I doing here? I don't want to be with you, Mariah. Could it happen? I mean, sure, I've seen people do weird things in real life. I think for me, in terms of story, I agree. I think that you use the word disingenuous. I don't necessarily know that that's the best way to go. Even if, let's cede the point. Let's say that Devon and Hillary are meant to be together, have always meant to be together, and should be together for eternity. If we take that as assuming that as fact, I still don't know that doing something switch of the light, I don't know that that's the best way to go. I would rather see, in this case, I would rather see them do something that makes sense, that ends up making sense in story, and then gives the group of people that are hoping for them to get together, I just saying, here, let's put them together, that's sort of, it's like, oh, great, you put them together, okay. I would rather see something that comes in a payoff that people can then get to Twitter and say, you know, this is what we've been talking about for all these months, and we said that they deserve to be together. See, this is it. This is the moment where you can give the fans a little sense of vindication that, you know, say, hey, we were right, rather than just sort of making it look like, eh, all right, we'll give you what you want, and it won't be good, and we're not going to do anything other than giving you what you want. I don't always want to be given what I want, unless it's a cupcake. Cupcakes are good.
Or brownie brittle. Brownie brittle is good. I think the other problem there is, you have to be fair to the entire audience, not just to the audience of one couple. You have to be fair to the entire audience. And the entire audience is invested in a story. And even if there are people in the audience who don't like the story, that's, you know, that you can't disregard the rest of the audience at that expense. And more importantly, if you look specifically at Hillary and Devon, if Devon were to wake up tomorrow and say, you know what, screw this, I want to be with Hillary, it would not be natural, because they have not addressed any of the things that came between them. Now, you may not like the things that came between them, and you may find them to be I thought their breakup was silly, and it didn't really make sense, and it was plot point driven as opposed
to
arising naturally. Right, but here's the thing. It doesn't matter that it was silly. It now is part of their history, and so now it must be dealt with. And so it would not make sense for Devon to simply walk in and be like, I want to be with Hillary, because nothing has changed. Things have to change between them. She has to prove herself. He has to prove himself. A couple has to sort of earn on soaps. They have to earn the right to be together. And if they've hurt each other, then, and they've done things, one or the other or both, if they've done things to each other, those things have to be overcome. They can't just be sort of shoved under the carpet. So we are not at a place yet where I think this is a couple that has sort of earned their reunion. Now, I do believe that that's something Mal Young can do, because as a fan of EastEnders, if you've ever watched EastEnders, which is the English soap he oversaw for quite a while, that show was really big on making sure that when a couple who had broken up got back together, you understood why they got back together. You understood why they broke up, and you understood what had happened to sort of move them to a point where they were, you know, able to get back together instead of just putting them back together. And I think that's what we're going to see. At least I'm hoping that's what we'll see, because to me, that's not only serving Hillary and Devon and their fans, it's serving the show as a whole, because that makes for good television when the whole audience can look at a couple and say, oh, okay, I understand why they broke up, even though I didn't like it, and I now understand why they're getting back together. The writers and everyone behind the scenes, they've earned it. They've earned, even from people who don't necessarily like the couple, they've earned them being together. You know what I mean?
Yes. It needs to be written beautifully.
Yes. And that's true of all couples. That's true of all soap couples. You know, if a couple is poorly written, then it's like they say, if it's not on the page, it's not on the stage. And if a couple is poorly written, then there's nothing you can do to sell it. You know, there's just nothing you can do to sell it. So, but if you break a couple up, you have to have as much commitment to why they are getting back together as you had to why they fell apart, you know? Whether it's Sonny and Carly on General Hospital getting together for the fifth time,
Oh, Lord.
I do not believe that right now, even though Sonny and Carly have sort of gotten back together, I do not believe that they have earned that reunion. I think that that was an insta reunion that they did not earn. Alexis and Julian on General Hospital, I get flamed for it all the time, but Julian has not, in my opinion, done anything that would justify Alexis forgetting what he did, putting aside what he did, and saying, I will allow you not only into my life, but like when Alexis handed over Sam's baby to Julian, I screamed at my television. I was like, I'm one of those people who talks to the television. I was furious because he didn't, like, how dare you? That you know how Sam feels about this man. This man tried to kill you, and you're handing over the baby to him? I was – Dan, back me up here on Julian and Alexis. Great couple. Nancy Legron and William DeVry, amazing chemistry. But have they, in your eyes, earned the right to put this couple back together yet?
Well, Dan, before you answer that, I hope they work this whole thing out with the guy who plays Julian. They need to work this whole thing out because the fans want him to remain on that show.
So that actually is a twofold then, bringing that in. So here's the thing. I very much loved Julian and Alexis together. I very much, and I've said this I think the last time I was on the show, I very much love the fact that we've moved from the, I hate to, you know, mention his name because he's going to pop up, but we've moved from the Brian Franz era where if you were over 30, you were undesirable and unwanted. And now we have a couple where both of the actors involved are over 30, and they're involved in a hot romance that people could get behind. And then you have this, and as we were talking, you know, sometimes you split characters apart, or in the case of B&B where you said, you know, Quinn and Ridge didn't actually do, they just kissed, which, yes, I'm sure, you know, we can make the argument that that's wrong and horrible, but not for this moment. There's a difference between kissing and then, you know, holding a knife to someone's throat. There are certain things. If you're going to go and say that soaps glorify rape, there's even the term they came up with, rape manse. If you're going to go something to like that, you should also then not glorify domestic violence. And I think that that being said, I love Nancy. I love William. I remember the very first red carpet that I did, William DeVry came over and he talked about my shoes. It was right outside of Radio City Music Hall in New York. He came over and said, oh, I said, Kenneth Cole. I said, yes, how did you know? And we talked. Anyway.
Oh my God, you name dropper. Kenneth Cole. I was wearing Kenneth Cole. And also my suit was by Forrester Creations.
It was a Forrester original. But to say that I like them, and I would actually like to see William DeVry. I liked him on All My Children, and he was not a nice person. I liked him on The Bold and the Beautiful. He was killed there. I would like to see him continue somewhere because I enjoy his work. I just don't know how you get back from something. There are no amounts of I'm sorries. There are no amounts of roses being delivered. There's no amount of candy, cake, whatever it is that you can go back from the whole knife thing. I mean, maybe they come up and say, hey, it was somebody else impersonating him, and then I'll get past it and then I can move on. I don't know what you do. But now I want to zip it back to a question for the caller, only because if Devon and Hillary get back together, say whatever, we'll not worry about how they get back together. Let's say they get back together. What happens for the fan base? Because I know that we've talked about it. There are quite a few folks who are vocal about it on Twitter, and I know that you were representing and talking. What happens when they're happy? What sort of story do you want to see for them then, knowing what soaps do and how they like to tear people apart? What do you do with a happy couple to keep giving them a story that's going to keep them on the canvas?
Well, now, you have to have an answer, Ferris, because if you don't have an answer, it's sort of like the GOP having 7 years to come up with a health care replacement plan and not do it again.
Let's leave the GOP out.
You've had time to come up with a storyline.
I do have an answer. You know, probably before they broke up, they had a house together, a penthouse, that we only saw in like five episodes. And then and then suddenly they broke up. They wanted to raise a family. They wanted to raise kids. We just wanted to see them as another core family, because The Young and the Restless was basically core families, like the Abbotts. We had the Abbotts. We had the Williamses. We had the Winters. I was ready for the Hamiltons. This was another young core family that was ready for them.
But that's not a story. That would be if I'm tuning in every day and all I'm seeing is a happy couple, you know, decorating their penthouse and planning for a baby. That is not a story. That is a fan base getting to enjoy their couple being together. But for the rest of the audience, that's kind of a snooze fest, you know? Like, so what is the story that you tell for them?
Story? Let's see. What they can interact with members of the Generous City Elite, you know. You know, and it can run.
Well,
GC
I think that is the challenge. I think I'm going to pose that as the challenge for the next time you come on the show. Is the next time you come on the show, you and the rest of the base that you know, you guys talk a lot. The next time you come on, I want you to have a story to pitch for me. You know, an actual like, and a story is not they interact with their neighbors or they move into their penthouse. It has to be something that has actual movement, plot points, development, you know, involves other people. So, Ferris, that is your challenge. The next time you come on the show, I want you to have – oh, look, I'm giving homework. I want you to have a story to pitch to whether it's Dan and I, if Dan happens to be here, or just me and the rest of the listeners, and that is your homework. We're going to take another call here. 204, you're on the air. You've been very patient in holding. What do you got for me?
204, holla. Dan, it's Dan. Richard, it's Al from Canada. How are you?
Al from Canada. How are you?
Very good. You know, we have three Pisces on, right? All three of us are Pisces.
Yes,
hey!
We do.
Awesome. So, anyways, I'm just going to make this quick. I've just got three things, and I'll just run through them real quick. One, William DeVry, if he doesn't go back to GH, how about him going to YNR and he can pick up a character that was left off in a murky fashion in the mid-80s, Rick Darrows, who was an enemy of Nikki, Paul, and Victor's, and he comes back, I guess, with plastic surgery, or maybe they say that he looked the same or whatever, and he's got a power base, and Michael is his lawyer, and he helped protect Michael when Michael was in jail. And that folds Lauren, Paul, Michael, and the Newmans all together or whatever, and maybe they have a murder mystery with him after a year and a half or so.
I like
that.
Who would you pair him? Who would you pair him with romantically on the show? Who would you make his his lady? Phyllis. Okay.
Phyllis. Yeah, and pull Phyllis in, and then you know you got Christine in there, a little bit of angst too. On another side note, quick with YNR, I was listening to Jamie Giddens on Daytime Confidential. He's saying what would be doing since Kevin, since Greg Rickard is coming back as Kevin. Have Kevin exposed with Chloe. They both come back to Genoa City. Paul is furious that Victor screwed with Chloe's mind like he did with Patty. And Paul goes after Victor with a vengeance and sort of kind of is vindicated and kind of wins and puts Victor in jail for a while. What do you think about that? I doubt it will happen, but what do you think about that?
No way. There's no way Victor is going to jail. I mean, I'm really glad to have Greg Rickert coming back. I'm a huge fan of his. To the best of my knowledge, and Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, as you always do. unless I'm not mistaken, we have not heard anything about Elizabeth Hendrickson coming back, right? It's only Greg.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I know that the show will probably never really comment on what was going on. Was Greg's exit really only intended to be for a short time? I would say no, because he certainly wrote that message about being there for however many years, and you know all good things must come to an end. So that sort of, but then they could say, well, he went along with the ruse that he wanted everyone to think that he was really gone. I don't know that I would buy that either. But to the best of my knowledge, it was always Elizabeth Hendrickson that wanted to leave, at least
yes.
from what I'm recalling in my mind. So I don't know if they then decided, oh, well, hey, if she's going, let's prune the cast and let's get rid of her love interest as well and wrap it up nice and neat. And then they had a change of heart. I'd heard not only that it was the surprise and outcry from fans and castmates, I also had heard that there might have been some concern that they didn't think about that by getting rid of Kevin, it also impacted future story for other characters that were already on the canvas, and then thought, oh, hey, maybe we need to reconsider this. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but I don't know. So if you don't bring back Elizabeth Hendrickson, then it's another thing where you have to explain what happened off screen that is all of a sudden going to be having Kevin come back to Genoa City.
Right. The only way I can think about that is if you say that once Kevin and Chloe and Bella established their happy little life, like Chloe got hit by a car and then he died. So then he comes back and he doesn't really have to explain to anybody that Chloe was alive because, well, they
but
all
is he coming back with
dead.
The baby? Is he coming up back with the kid? Because if not,
then... I really don't know. And that's the weird thing is, like, if you bring Kevin back with Bella, I see lots of good storyline there for, like, you know, single dad, you know, raising mm-hmm. the kids. I think there's a really good story to tell there. But how do you explain the Chloe thing?
And if you don't bring Bella back, then you have to explain why would he willingly leave his child and come back to Genoa City for a life. You know, that it's going to be an interesting decision to see exactly what happens.
Hold on one second there, guys. For those of you who are listening live, you're about to lose the feed. I want to thank Dan and Al and Ferris. And I want to thank everybody who's listening for being here. We're going to continue with this call and before we wrap up the show, but we're going to lose the live feed. So thank you all for coming. If you're listening in the archive, which most of you are, nothing is going to change. We're just going to keep right on babbling. So go ahead, Alan.
Okay. Just my last question, and then you guys can wrap up after this. So whose organic conflict between YNR and Days do you think just they should, if a new soap opera was wanting to take from Days or from Winer, whose organic conflict do you think works best? And it's going to be about like six people here, so I'll just go. Days' conflict between Eric and Brady and Tripp and Joey, or Winer's conflict with Billy and Jack versus Devon and Neil, when Devon and Neil were interacting. Which one felt more organic between the two soaps?
Ooh, go for it, Dan.
I'm not sure I understand the question, so I need to get a repeat so I can follow along at home.
Okay. Days has Eric and Brady have conflicts right now, and so
yes.
does Joey and Trent, and they're both brothers. Okay. Y&R, I mean, I'm going back to the past when Neil and Devon had conflict, and Jack and Billy currently had conflict. I'm asking between the two shows, which one did it better?
Oh, well, that's interesting. I wonder almost if this isn't a case of apples and oranges. Yes, I know that that's skirting the question and it makes me look like I'm cheating. I just feel like they're not necessarily the same type of conflict. I think that The Young and the Restless is something more, I don't know, for whatever reason, the Jack and Billy conflict, I enjoy it more. Like when I watch it, it makes me happy that they're fighting. I'm not entirely sure why. I'm not usually someone who likes conflict unless it's, you know, Richard Milhouse Sims and myself over here fighting on Twitter. I don't know. There's something that I like about that. But when you go off on some of the stuff on Days, it almost makes me feel sad. Whereas Billy and Jack fighting, I don't feel sad and think, oh, these brothers should get along. For Eric and Brady and Tripp, not so much because it's a newer character, but I almost feel sad. I'm like, oh my goodness, you're brothers, you should get along and love each other. You know, I'm an only child.
But why don't you feel that? I don't know. Why don't you feel that way about Billy and Jack? They're brothers. Why shouldn't they get along? You're an Abbott.
I don't know why. I know. I'm a whatever you call people who are against. I'm a siblingist. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. There's something about it. Like, I don't know. In my mind, even when they say they hate each other, even when one's not invited over for the family breakfast, I don't know. I feel like in the back of my mind, at some point, it's always going to work. They're going to work it out, but I enjoy watching them fight in the meantime. That doesn't bother me. I don't know why. For all of the others, maybe it's because this is going to sound ageist. Let me just offend all groups of people. I feel because there's a bit of an age difference between them that it's a different level, sort of, where you've got an experience gap where I feel like, yes, they can argue and get along. When you're closer together as siblings, I almost feel like you should just get over it because you've been around each other more, and if I don't know, I'm not entirely sure why. I can't explain it, but I do like
that was the worst
answer ever.
Oh,
you know what?
Terrible answer.
Peter Bergman is fun to watch him be nasty. With the scenes with when Jack and Phyllis were arguing, I loved it. I mean, I never for once thought that Peter Bergman and Gina Tognoni, though they must hate each other because that's why they're so good at this. It was fun to watch them go at it. I just think that more so than in the past, I really like Peter Bergman and Jason Thompson being able to go at it. It just brings me pleasure.
You know what I think,
what do you think
is, you know, here's what I think
Richard,
the difference is. You know, when you said that Eric and Brady makes you sad, I think I know why. And I'm dead serious when I say this. When Billy
okay.
and Jack fight, you know, they have a long history, and they've been close, they've been distant, Jack has always been sort of, Jack has always put himself in sort of the parental position there, like, oh, my little brother, this screw up. And it also sort of comes off, for some reason, as very fun when they fight. Eric has always been, and maybe not
always, but certainly since Greg Vaughn took over the role, Eric is a little bit of a hangdog. He's a little bit of the like he's just sort of a sad puppy. He always seems like the guy who is the puppy who was kicked. Whereas Brady is the guy who has always had everything. You know, he grew up in the lap of luxury, and yet despite that, he's been really unlucky in love. You know, like he's constantly he makes these really awful decisions. So I feel like maybe it's the difference in the characters is what you're feeling there. Like, I agree. I like both pairs, but I find Eric, who I love Eric, but I find him to be a tragically sad character. I just think he just always looks as if somebody ran over his bunny. And I made that personal for you, Dan. I made that personal for you. I made it a bunny instead of a puppy. And I think that for me is the difference. So I think the more organic feeling one, I think the Jack Billy one is more organic for me because I understand, you know, Jack stepped in to be a father and a mother in many ways to his siblings, especially after John died. And I think that Jack sort of, until recently, until the whole Phyllis thing, even when Billy screwed up and even when Billy and Jack were fighting because Billy screwed up, Jack truly wanted the best for his brother. He really wanted his brother to rise up and stop being the loser that he was. And that is why, because he was so supportive of Billy, and I think that's why the Phyllis thing hurt so much. You know, it's like, I did everything for you. I helped raise you. I was the best big brother I could be. And this is how you repay me, you know. And then he goes into his grandmother, but this is how you repay me. So for me, that's really organic because it's based in a long-term story that, you know, I understand the history of these characters.
Right. Okay, well, I'll talk to you guys in a couple of weeks when I have more time and we can chat.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Al from Canada. I have to tell you, Dan, I love when Al from Canada calls because Al from Canada always has he brings something different to the table. He has really interesting questions. He doesn't just ask me, like, you know, do you think so-and-so are going to get back together? He comes up with, like, these theoretical questions, like, which is more organic? And he actually makes me think. I think he makes me, in some ways, a smarter soap pundit. And he tried to do that with you tonight but failed miserably.
I know. You know, one at a time, Canada. One at a time.
Those Canadians, they're so pushy and obnoxious. My God, I just offended half of my audience now. Dan Kroll, I'm really glad you were. I always love when you hang out with me, and you know you have an open invitation anytime. Why don't you give yourself a little bit of a shout-out here as we wrap things up?
Hi, Dan. Oh, you mean in another way. Interesting to open shout-outs and open invitations. You have had an open invitation to come hang out with me here at Kroll Manor for nearly 2 years now. And I would like your listening audience to know, whether they be from Canada or the United States or elsewhere, you have yet to take me up on that. However, you have gone on 17 cruises. I find that very telling. That being said, if anyone else would like to, you know, consider being invited over here, first you need to be my friend. And you can do that by following me on Twitter at Dan J. Kroll. It's also the same on Instagram and every social media outlet. I'm at Dan J. Kroll. If you want to follow the soapy stuff that I do, you can follow me at Soap Central on Twitter. Or, of course, you can go to SoapCentral.com. I don't have nearly as many online personas as Richard does, but the at Dan J. Kroll and at Soap Central are usually the two places to find me doing whatever it is that I'm doing.
And I hope that people get, you know, I hope that hearing us do this show, I hope they don't think, it would be weird if people were like, oh my God, these guys hate each other so much that they even go on a radio show and spend an hour hating each other. Like, how twisted are they? And I want the audience to know, and I'm telling them this as well, so it's not just you, so there's more people to hold my feet to the fire later, that my plan is to now come once the kids are back in school so we can go to that nice amusement park near your house without the kids all being there and have a fun day. So once we get past the kids that neither you nor I have going back to school, that is my plan. And who knows, maybe we'll even like do some kind of like, I don't know, you know how to do that Facebook Live crap and prove that we actually are not the same person, that we exist in the same universe, unlike Superman and Clark Kent.
Oh, my God, Richard. I dropped the kids off at school 10 years ago. I never went back to get them.
No, we're not talking about – we're not talking about dropping the kids in the pool like taking a poop. We're talking actual, literal kids who go to school. And now we've just offended everyone, crossed every line. There's really nothing else to do except to say thank you, Dan. As you guys know, I'm Richard Sims, the executive editor at Soaps in Depth magazine. You can find me at Soaps in Depth ABC, Soaps in Depth CBS. Momentarily, I will be going on to my primetime account at All TV, All Shade, and watching something. I don't even know what I'll be watching tonight, but I'll be talking about it on Twitter because I, like Madonna, believe that if you don't tweet, you don't exist. So I am everywhere. I'm also on Facebook at facebook.com/Trelfie. You can find the magazine at soapsindepth.com or Facebook. I don't know how to find us on Facebook, to be honest, but we are on Facebook. So, again, thank you, Dan. Always a pleasure having you here. Thank you, listeners. I don't know why you listen, but I'm glad you do. And remember, because it's Soaps, what do you got to do? You got to tune in tomorrow.